Matthew chapter 18, we're going to begin our reading with verse 21. Matthew 18, 21 and following. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And he began the settlement. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay it, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. And when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Oh God, open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. I came across a couple of sentences in my reading some time ago that contained a thought that I had never encountered before. The sentences read like this: "Forgiveness was something God had to invent in order for the drama of history to continue. There could have been no meaningful future for the world had this particular reality not been called into being." Now, I repeat, I was a little startled because I had really never thought of that before, but the more I have thought about it since, the truer I find these words to be. For example, they are historically accurate. If you look at the early pages of the book of Genesis, you won't hear anything about forgiveness. What you will hear is a spirit of generosity, exuberance, a kind of lyric delight. That's what you hear in the first few pages of Genesis. That story in Genesis describes what is the single most important thing that had ever occurred, and that is the moment when the Holy One decided to be the generous one. That moment when this mystery that had life and was life, decided to share life with others. It would sort of be like a medieval king waking up one morning, looking around the castle and saying to himself, you know, this is all too good to keep to myself. This is something I want to share on a wider basis. I want my subjects to get in on the wonders of this beautiful castle. I'd like for them to eat the foods which I eat. I'd like for them to see these beautiful tapestries on the wall. I'd like for them to participate in the wonders of royal life. So he decides to have one giant open house. He made the castle available to the whole kingdom. He sets a date, elaborate preparations are made, and the great day came. And there was a sense of joy all over the kingdom because they were going to get to see and to share in the life of the king. But then as the day wore on, events took a sudden and unexpected turn. Some of the subjects didn't like the spirit of their king. They did not take delight in the things that he relished. They came to the palace with a sense of curdled dissatisfaction, which seemed to affect everything. They ate the king's food and they spit it out. They looked at those tapestries that hung on the walls and they pronounced them tacky. There was nothing about the architecture of the palace that pleased them at all. Everything got clogged in that curdled sense of not liking it, and finally, this spirit burst into action. These malcontents, they turned over the tables that were laden with food. They ripped those tapestries from the wall. They began to unmake this structure that took royalty centuries to put together. Crisis of rebellion was face to face with the king, and obviously he had to do something that he had never intended to do. You see, his plan A was not working. His plan A of generosity just exploded in the face of this kind of spirit. Some kind of plan B was absolutely necessary. But then, what form would it assume? If you think about it, this is exactly what you find in the book of Genesis. At the very beginning there, God's intention was simply that of generosity. God wanted his creatures to get in on the ecstasy of his aliveness and to know his joy. He wanted their joy to be full. And then suddenly, the face of evil rears its ugly head. The death wish comes up against the life force. The spirit of disgust comes up against the spirit of delight. And how was God going to respond? Well, God had several options. God could have turned his back and allowed these unmakers to reduce creation back into chaos. Or God could have been so angered at this abuse of generosity that he was just going to blast them back into nothingness. Or God could invent something that he had never needed before. He could create something that had never been seen in the drama of history. He could reach deep down into his heart and find a willingness not only to keep on being a spirit of generosity, but also mixing that with a hope that maybe his dream could still come true. Maybe these most curdled of spirits could be cleansed. Maybe those most bent of hearts could somehow be aligned and brought again in concert with delight. Of all the things that God could have done, God invented forgiveness so that the drama of history could go on. Now, do you realize that forgiveness is absolutely foundational? If God had not chosen to take that response to evil, none of us would be around. History would have ended a long time ago. The whole wonder that we now experience, it never could have been. If God had not chosen, in the face of evil, to keep on being good and true and beautiful, not imitating the dislike, but just continuing to be God's delighted self. We are here this morning for one reason and one reason only. And that is the Holy One who decided to be the generous one, miracle of miracles, became the merciful one. God became the merciful one. Where would we be if God had made any other choice? You know, this truth came home to me vividly many years ago when Charles Colson, do you remember Chuck Colson? He came to my home state of Mississippi to speak. He had just been released from federal prison, where he served a sentence for his part in the Watergate scandals. If you'll remember, Chuck Colson was one of Nixon's closest operatives, and he was known for his ruthlessness, his playing political hardball. Well, while he was in prison, he underwent an alleged religious conversion. And when he got out of prison, he started on a new path. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't care for Chuck Colson at all. I didn't like what I had read about what he had done. And I was rather skeptical at this alleged conversion of heart in prison. But when he spoke, he said something at the very beginning of his talk that completely disarmed me. He said, "I am here tonight for one reason and one reason only. Somebody decided to forgive me. Somebody was willing to give me a second chance. Somebody believed that I could have a different future than my past." And then he said, "If truth be told, that's your story as well as mine. I was disarmed. Because I knew that that was utterly, utterly true. Where would I be if there were no forgiveness? If everybody held everything I'd ever done in my past against me, there would be no meaningful future. That is the sense that all of us need to live into this morning. We are here because the Holy One chose to be the generous one and then chose to be the merciful one. Forgiveness is absolutely foundational if there's going to be any future, any bright or better future. There's no other way in the face of evil but the way of forgiveness. Now, this is what our gospel text has said to us this morning. I love this passage. Peter had a whole lot that he needed to learn about forgiveness. He still thought of forgiveness as an option, you know, as something that you might occasionally do, but if it doesn't work, then you'll do something else. So he said to Jesus, he said, just how many times do I have to forgive people who have injured me? Wouldn't 7 times be generous enough? And Jesus said, oh, Peter, you don't get it. You don't get it. Forgiveness is not something that you can ever stop doing. Because it is not something that you can ever stop doing without. If you don't get forgiveness from God, you'll never survive. And if you don't give forgiveness in the face of evil, then evil is destined to win. And then I suppose one of God's greatest frustrations must be that after he chose to be merciful to us and to keep on keeping on and to not turn his back on us, it must have been the ultimate frustration for God to see us receive mercy and then not be willing to give it. And that's what you've got here in this story. That's what happened to this man who was forgiven a staggering debt of $10 million. And then what does he do? He goes out and finds somebody who owes him a 20. And he's not willing to show that man who owes him 20 any mercy after he had been forgiven his big debt. Unless we are willing to give mercy, there is no better future. There were two Polish Jews, both who survived the Nazi concentration camps, who bumped into each other one day on the streets of Warsaw. These two men had been close friends in their incarceration, and it had been 40 years since they had seen each other. So, through some act of providence, they bumped into each other, and as good friends will usually do, they went to a sidewalk cafe and they sat down over a cup of coffee and began to talk about what had happened to them. One man said to the other, he said, have you been able to forgive the Nazis for what they did to us and what they took from us? He said, I tell you, I still have health problems that are related to some things that happened in the camp. And I don't have any family. I've lost every member of my family. Those Germans wiped out all of my family. Have you been able to forgive these Nazis for all the atrocities that they did to you? Well, there was a little silence, and the other one said, well, to be honest, yes. Yes, I decided a long time ago to forgive them and to offer myself the gift of forgiveness. He said, every morning when I wake up, I cleanse myself of every trace of resentment. He said, I get rid of that just like I get rid of my bodily waste in the bathroom every morning. I rid myself of bitterness and resentment. I do not want to allow that poison of hatred to stay in my spirit. I really have forgiven them. The other man says, well, I haven't. I'm still bitter. And the second man said, well, then they still have you in prison. The Nazis are still your captors. You and I can only live in one place at a time. And if you choose to live in the past, if you choose to stay focused on the past and on the injuries that were done to you back then, if you allow yourself to be fixated on the way it was, then you're going to remain a prisoner of the past. Forgiveness is absolutely foundational. God invented forgiveness in order for the drama of history to go on. There could have been no meaningful future for any of us had the Holy One, the generous one, not become the merciful one. And if there is to be a better tomorrow for you, for all of us, what God chose to do for us, we must do for others. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. We must give to others what God has given to us. God had to invent forgiveness. You and I don't have to invent it. But if there's to be a better future, you and I must pass it on. Amen.